Well, I'm here again with Dr. Bottom. Thanks, Dr. Bottom, for coming in. And we're going to talk about cancer prevention today. Now, it's a very touchy subject with a lot of people. A lot of people I know have gone through cancer deaths and cancer prevention. Can you tell us some of the things about cancer that people should know and should be aware of?
Thanks, Barry. Yeah, it is a scary topic, and part of the issue with cancer is that it's just so varied. There's just so many different types of cancer out there that it can become very daunting to people. In the 20-some-odd years that I've been practicing, you know, there's been major advances in heart disease and treatments. But cancer is just one of those things that just keeps inching along. Things are definitely getting better, but not in the leaps and bounds that we've seen in some of the other areas of medicine. And I think one area that we really want to focus on and encourage people to think about is preventing cancer from happening. And boy, there, you know, so many types of cancer. How do I do that? And there's so many things out there that we always hear about that are related to cancer. But there are some very basic things that people can do sort of day to day that might help reduce the risk of developing cancer and not having to go through difficult surgeries and treatments or end-of-life issues.
We spoke about one of those before, and that was the colonoscopy.
Right.
The test that you can do at home.
Sure.
And
yeah,
those are, I guess, that's the start. And
sure. Well, that's a screening test. So what I'm talking about is in reducing your risk of having a positive screening test, so reducing the risk that when they look up your backside with a colonoscopy or you do the fecal occult test, that there's any abnormalities there. So reducing the risk that you will develop cancer. So there are many different strategies. First strategy is most difficult. Choose your parents carefully.
Do we have a choice?
Well, no, we don't. So genetics does play a big role, but in fact, most cancers do not occur to people that have a family history of cancer. There are some genetic issues that increase your likelihood of developing cancers, and being aware of that can be very helpful. There's lots of testing going on these days to help people identify if they've inherited a gene from their parent who had colon cancer or breast cancer and whether they should be screened or looked at differently. But I also hope that information will take that person by the hand and say, look at what do I need to do to reduce my risk of having a positive test? I don't want to end up with that sort of cancer. Mm. Not that we can prevent all of these from happening, but again, some basic things that we can do day to day that maybe people aren't aware of that actually will reduce the risk of cancer. So I'd like to talk about some of those things and sort of work through the list. And, you know, I had a list in mind, but I went to the Canadian Cancer Society. Excellent website. All the information I'm going to give you and more is on their website. And they actually have a self-test questionnaire in there that you can go through and plug in some of your lifestyle issues, and they will give you some ideas of where to change
where you can reduce the risks.
Yeah, exactly. So excellent website. There's great websites in many areas. So, and I don't mind sort of quoting those because I think working together with other information is important, and that's what we want people to have is
important. Well, there's a plethora of information out on the website. So all you have to do is look up cancer, but some of it's
crap. Yeah,
exactly. So
sure.
Where would they want to go to be sure that the information, cancer.com or what is it?
Well, just Canadian Cancer Society. If you Google that in, it'll bring you to Canadian Cancer Society, and you'll see the daffodil on the logo that we're all familiar with Cancer Society.
No doubt.
And it looks like a very reputable sort of website, and it is. And the information is there, is up to date, and very practical for you to have.
So carry on. Now that we know where to go,
sure.
Maybe you can give us some little insights that you're aware of.
We'll talk about the basics. So, you know, we have talked about smoking cessation at other times and with Kathy McLaughlin. Smoking is obviously increases your risk of cancer.
Well, no doubt. That's how I lost my wife, first wife. She wouldn't quit, and it eventually took its toll.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, people don't realize, but smoking is associated with many things other than lung cancer. Kidney, bladder, stomach, throat, colon. We could probably go on, but toxins from smoking as skin cancer. So internal and external organs are all affected by the different toxins and smoking, so getting rid of that. Another one, and people may not like this, but alcohol. Is a carcinogen.
Alcohol.
Sure. Well, and that's where, you know, if you go to the website, it does not actually suggest that you abstain from alcohol. So small amounts of alcohol may be safe, that our bodies can handle it without it becoming a toxin. And that comes back to, you know, I mentioned heart disease earlier. There's some studies that suggest that moderate intake may be beneficial to reduce your risk of heart attack. So how do we sort of fit this in? Well, what is moderate intake? And that's different for everybody. But for women, no more than one sort of drink a day. And for men, no more than 2 drinks in a day. So that suggests no more than 12.
No, you say drinks a day. Does it matter whether it's wine, beer, or hard liquor?
Well, as long as it's a standard drink, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
But if you're having 2 doubles of a hard liquor, that's 4 drinks in my book and may increase your risk. And again, if you've got a family history, if you want to reduce your risk, then having moderate intake, maybe not daily, 1 or 2 drinks may be reasonable to reduce your risk of heart disease. But if you want to reduce your risk of other cancers, then you might even consider abstaining. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes we add these things together, so alcohol is certainly a significant risk factor for breast, prostate, colon, stomach, esophagus, oral cancers. But if you combine that with smoking, the risks don't just double, you know, they go up exponentially. So smoking and alcohol is not a good combination for people. And unfortunately, they may go hand in hand with some people. So that combination of reducing smoking and reducing alcohol. Fitness. Regular exercise will reduce your risk of cancer. How that happens, we do not know.
There's no answer for that.
There's a lot of theories out there, but people who get out for a half an hour walk once a day, it doesn't have to be strenuous exercise, it doesn't have to be an aerobics class, but getting regular fitness will reduce your risk of cancer. So getting out and getting moving will reduce that risk.
Yeah, a walk around the block or something would suffice, eh?
Sure, yeah, so 30 minutes. Reducing your weight. So again, it doesn't have to be related to the exercise. So this is independent. If you don't exercise but you're able to lose weight, you will reduce your risk of cancers. Breast cancer certainly coming to mind, endometrial cancer, ovarian cancer, colon cancer, breast cancer, all related, can be related to being overweight.
And then, of course, they have the screening for the breast cancer with the mammographs.
Sure. Yeah. But again, we want to reduce the risk of that screening test being positive. So trying to maintain an ideal weight. Again, not an easy thing to do, and I hope to get our dietitian here one of these days to talk about different strategies to lose weight. But if people were thinking about it and sort of looking at the package, you know, what can I do to start reducing my risk of cancer and being a healthier person, then trying to bring your weight down may be helpful if you're overweight, trying to combine that with some exercise, trying to reduce alcohol, reduce smoking. Another big area is nutrition. So people don't sort of think too much about nutrition and cancer other than the fact that everything is laced with chemicals these days and can be a scary proposition. And, you know, you want to make sure you wash your fruits and vegetables thoroughly. But the most important thing is to make sure you're eating your fruits and vegetables.
Are there certain types of vegetables and foods that are, shall we say, conducive to getting rid of what you might call as something that might turn into cancer?
Well, I think, you know, anything is sort of high fiber, and, you know, if you're a purist, you probably could sort of look at certain fruits and vegetables being a little bit better than another. The berries and the smaller fruits are higher in antioxidants. Some find that the higher fiber vegetables like cabbage and cauliflower and broccoli may provide you with more fiber. But the truth of the matter is most people do not eat enough fruits and vegetables. So I'm going to say just eat more fruits and vegetables. And I would suggest people look at 7 to 10 servings of fruit and vegetables a day.
Well, that seems like a lot.
Sure, it is. But if you have a nice salad, depending on what variety of fruits and vegetables or vegetables you put in it, that could be 3 or 4 servings right there. So a big salad a day with an apple and a couple more veggies with dinner, maybe you'll get up to that 7 very easily.
Well, is it true? Has there been any theories or has there been any discussions about and any, shall we say, anything enlightening people about an apple a day keeps the doctor away?
Well, let's try 7 apples a day.
Okay.
But I think the idea of an apple sort of is higher in fiber. The skin on the apple being red is full of antioxidants. And there may be many
unless you eat a granny apple.
Sure, exactly. But again, that's only one piece of fruit. But I think, yeah, having sort of regular fruits and vegetables in our diet, which many years ago people did, but because they grew their own vegetables, so that fruits were in abundance.
And now a lot of it's processed. And a lot of that, all of the good out of it is gone.
Sure. And a lot of those are starches, eating sort of processed meats. So red meats can actually increase your risk of cancer, eating a lot of saturated fats. So a lot of cheeses and, again, red meats, pork, beef may actually increase your risk of cancer and sometimes how it's prepared. So if you tend to use the barbecue a lot and you're sort of barbecuing and there's a lot of flame that comes up, the combination of flame with grease can actually create carcinogenic particles. So you want to make sure that you cook your meat relatively slowly. You know, draining the fat away is a good thing. As I said, the saturated fats may increase your risk of cancer. So barbecuing is fine, but make sure you don't sort of flame broil your meats on a regular basis.
Well, I hope to get that dietitian in here so we can talk about these foods very shortly.
I knew that would be a touchy subject, but it is, because eating is something that we do every day, but making the right choices, making sure we add fruits and vegetables into our diet. If you can reduce some of the carcinogenic sort of foods like sort of red meats and alcohols, then may reduce your risk of cancer. So
I think a lot of this has to do with the pace of life that we've come up with. Mm-hmm. That everybody's going so fast, they just don't have time to sit down and make that good meal, shall we say.
A lot of double-income families. So people get home from work 5 o'clock. You don't have somebody at home necessarily to
prepare the meal.
Start preparing food, eat earlier, and go out and buy fresh fruits and vegetables. You know, the farmer's market here was open during the day, but if people were working, they wouldn't get there before 5 o'clock to pick up
fruit, exactly.
fruits and vegetables. And I know it was well attended, so I'm glad to see that.
But we're into another subject here. Let's get back to cancer.
Sure. Well, again, it ties in. So, you know, some of those basic things may be very beneficial in helping people reduce their risk of cancer. Sort of a newer area that we're looking at is immunization. So treating or preventing viral infections from happening. If you have a pet cat, you've probably known for a long time, you should get a female leukemia virus vaccine. So your cat gets a shot to help reduce the risk of getting leukemia.
Wow.
Well, there actually are similar things in the human system. So viruses, some certain viruses can actually increase your risk of developing cancer. So hepatitis B. So a lot of people get hepatitis B shots when they travel. Healthcare workers, ambulance attendants, firefighters would get hepatitis B shots. Reduce the risk of getting hepatitis B. But if you do develop hepatitis B, that increases your risk of liver cancer.
Wow. Didn't know that.
Another virus, human papillomavirus, that has been associated with pretty well 98% of all cancer of the cervix in women. Human papillomavirus is passed on very easily through sexual transmission. And now the government, and I think it's been about 4 or 5 years now, is offering free Gardasil vaccine to girls in grade 8 before hopefully they become sexually active to reduce the risk of developing human papillomavirus and reducing the risk of getting cancer of the cervix. There are a couple other sort of viruses out there that they're using immunizations for to reduce the risk. We know those associations are developing. And I think that's part of the area of cancer research as well, is looking at, well, what caused that colon cancer? What caused that breast cancer? What caused that prostate cancer? The causes may be multifactorial, and we're going to have to sort of deal with it in many ways. And I've given you sort of 4 or 5 examples here of different ways of attacking cancer and try to prevent it from happening. And, you know, the things I've talked about, smoking, alcohol, diet, exercise, weight, are going to keep coming up as themes, Barry.
Yeah.
And we talk about many other diseases. So I don't want people to come necessarily cancer-centric or cancer-phobic, but looking at leading a healthy lifestyle will have benefits in many areas, and we'll get into sort of heart disease and diabetes and arthritis, and those themes are going to keep coming up with us. But again, if you go to the Canadian Cancer website, they've got that and many other ideas on how to reduce your risk.
Well, thanks very much, Dr. Bottom, for your enlightening everyone on cancer, and I hope they all take this to heart. And we'll be back again with more Medical Matters.